Hi again, everybody. We welcome you into ESP Media coverage of Molar Crusader Athletics. Yes, school is out, but we're not done as we're already getting ready for the 2018-2019 school year. And right now getting a chance to bring in the soccer head coach. Mike Welker is with us as we get a little summer preview of what's happening to get ready for what was a very high bar set during the course of last year. Mike, great to see you again. What's been going on, man?
Last time we spoke, we were crying like little babies. So this is good. This is good. Everything's going really well.
I should mention as well, Rob Ebel will be with us as well as we kind of look ahead to what's up. Mara, Rob, good to have you with us here as well, our executive producer and our grand poobah of everything. But, you know, it's been a while since the season has ended. So maybe let's kind of catch up and remind people. I was actually listening on the way in here this morning, listening to our podcast from back right before Halloween last year.
Yep.
And what a remarkable season it was. And I know you, as coaches, you love what you've accomplished, but you also have to move on at some point. So give me a little rundown, and it's not going to be easy.
Right.
But what's happened since essentially November 1st to we're essentially now beginning of June?
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Like, when do you actually move on?
Turn the page.
I don't know. You know, we'll talk about the offseason, but, you know, just to that point alone, maybe when, you know, we start open fields next week and Will and Peters and Grogan and all the other seniors aren't there, it finally hits you like, okay, like it's time to start. But since November, you know, we had a bit of bad luck where Beacon Best no longer existed, you
right.
know, in the offseason. And they were great partners of ours for two straight years. So we needed to go back to the drawing board for that. So starting in January, we partnered with Explosion Fitness over by Kings Island, and they've become great partners. We were working out there 3 days a week. We were only lifting this year. So one of the things that I really wanted to stress to the guys was I expected them to come to lifting and then go to their club practice, right? They still needed to get good ball work. And last year when we were doing sprinting and all the conditioning, they were already doing that at their club practice. So this was pure lifting, 30, 45 minutes, 3 days a week. And that's been January through May. And then we start open fields next week. So
now, obviously, some of these guys may play other sports during the off season. So how do they work themselves into – you're kind of still building that bond and that,
yeah.
that team camaraderie during
yeah.
these times.
You know, and we were talking, you know, before this started. My mentality has changed a lot. 3 years ago, I was distraught. I was upset. I was angry if our guys didn't show up. Last year, I kind of pulled back a little bit. This year, we're providing an opportunity for our guys to get together, to work out, to be, you know, with the Molar program if they choose to do so. I think it's important that we are, I don't want to say laid back, but that we're laid back as a coaching staff, laid back as a program to provide the opportunity to the guys, you know, for those first 5 months. And then, you know, as we go in June and July to continue to provide. But August 1st is when it really starts
right.
and when I start to say, you're now Molar soccer. You know, a good example is Jordan. You know, Jordan Walter, you know, great hockey player. You know, he comes when he can. You know, when he can. You know, he was participating in hockey. We had guys that were lacrosse players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of them, for the most part, are playing club sports where they're traveling or playing two games a week or having practice 3 to 4 times a week. So my mentality is, we will provide this service for our guys. And it'll be top-notch. It'll be best in class in the city. You know, we will provide it with real trainers, not Coach Welker out there showing them how to deadlift, which if you see me, I don't know how to do that. So maybe we get like Hoffman to come and show, but we hire pure trainers that have soccer specific workouts and lifts to improve our core and improve their bodies for the soccer season, that when they want to come, they come. We don't take attendance. I quit going because I felt like I was intimidating the guys.
Sure.
I want you to be there if you want to be there.
Have you noticed a different coach in the players at these sessions with you not being there, or, you know, are you getting different feedback as over the last 2 years when it was a much more strict regimen?
Yeah, I think that, you know, maybe attendance has been less. We still average 25 to 30 per session, which I think any coach would die to have.
Yeah.
You know, the feedback I've received is they're getting bigger. You know, they're getting stronger, and they enjoy it because it's kind of, you know, I don't think I'm an intimidating guy. You know, I had someone tell me the other day that I go to a lot of their, yeah, like I go to a lot of the club games, right? I go and I watch them, you know, at their club or whatever. And the guys tell me that I intimidate them when I'm on the side. I'm like, whatever. So hopefully they can just go and lift, you know, and focus on that. And, you know, if I'm there, great. If I'm not there, great too.
I think you'll see so many now on Twitter, all these inspirational quotes. Yep. and how they're talking about it's the off season. It is where you really make yourself part of the team, and you're building yourself as a player. The stuff on the field, on the court, whatever sport it is that you're playing, will take care of itself. But it's how you get ready, how you're preparing yourself, that kind of almost shows not only your attitude, but a little bit of the character, too, of the kind of player you're going to have.
Yeah, well, and I found, you know, an internal struggle that I have is I feel that I'm being selfish if it's about me, right? Like I need to move past Centerville, you know, the loss that we had. So I need to be at every lifting, and I need to, and make sure that all of our guys are getting, that's selfish. Like they're still kids. They're going to school. They're doing everything. Yes. You know, my presence is obviously good, and we have coaches that go to the liftings, but you know, these guys, to your point of there's inspirational quotes everywhere. They need to take care of themselves. They need to get ready, and they need to buy in on themselves. Come August 1, that's when it's, you know, I get to kind of dictate more. So
do you have captains now that are part of all this too?
No. So that was also what I've learned. 2 years ago, I put captains in place day one. You know, that was the first thing that I did. I let the team vote on it. I made captains last year. We made captains, I want to say in June. So June 1, Nick Peters and Will Lonneman were named captains. Over the offseason, Dylan Grogan really stepped up and showed that he was a leader, so I named him captain right during Meet the Team. This year, I'm taking a different approach. You know, I want to see our seniors or sophomores or juniors, whomever, be leaders. Who actually is a true captain? Who shows up? Who's helping to lead everything? You know, what are we doing? You know, that's where I won't name captains until probably right before the season.
It's a learning process for you in this whole thing, too. And it's good to see that you've been able to kind of grow and see what works, what doesn't, or maybe improve on what already has to this point as well. So you mentioned a few of the names, the seniors that have moved on, and maybe turning that page. I don't know if you went to graduation or not, or the baccalaureate mass, but that's probably a pretty good time.
I didn't get the ticket to those, so I gotta take that up with Mueller. But no, I've been to a couple of their graduation parties, so that's fun.
Oh, that's a good time. Yeah. So now that they're not your players anymore.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's all good now.
So. Well, let's talk about some of the returning guys, what they're doing during the summer, because a lot of these guys you mentioned, you know, club tryouts are coming up. They're going to be playing not only with each other, they're going to be playing against each other too.
Yeah, it's fun. So I try to go to at least 1, 2, 3 games for all of our players in the offseason, not only varsity guys, but JVA, JVB, and incoming freshmen. We have a lot of guys playing very high-level club soccer right now. We have seven guys playing for regional championships next week at the top level. We have a couple other in the second level for regionals as well. So we have, I want to say it's 9 guys playing for regional championships, which is a really, really, really big deal. It's fun when I go to games. Last weekend I went and I watched Sam Heggie and Hogan Daly play Cade Tepe's team. So it's weird of like, I try to sit like literally right in the middle of the field, so I'm not showing any favoritism to either club, but yeah, it's really good. And you know what I like to see when I go watch the guys, are they progressing? You know, club season, club coaches are making our players better. So I believe in going and playing at these top level clubs, get top level coaching, because once August 1st starts for us, it's a sprint. You know, how quickly can we all get together? Yes, I want to teach them. Yes, I want them to be, you know, molded in the Mueller way. But reality is they get most of that from club. And it's really a good sign for us that a lot of our guys play high level, soccer
Coach,
in the summer.
How is club soccer in this region these days? Has the competition picked up? Are you pleased with the level of competition that they're getting and pushing them to get better for the high school season?
Yeah, I mean, boys soccer in this area is very, very good. I think we have, you know, top level teams, Columbus, Cleveland, Dayton to a degree. But you know, we're producing a lot of really, really, really good soccer players, and you can see that just from across the city. You know, it's not just one or two clubs. We have 3, 4 high level soccer clubs that are really changing the game. For the high school, the club scene here in Cincinnati. So.
Do you see players that are maybe playing different positions that give you different ideas on how to use these guys?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because 2 years ago, I went and watched Parker Grinstead play, and he was playing defense. So I was thinking to myself the whole time, like, oh, Parker's going to play D, he's going to play D, and then he comes for us, and I'm like, he's got to play in the midfield. But all of those things always stick in the back of my mind, and that's why Gady and I spent so much time going to see how they play in club, because I remember it. You know, I sit here and I think, like, I remember, you know, in this situation where he did this well, or, you know, or whatnot. But all of our guys, and maybe I'm the worst at it or the best, I don't know. There's probably Jordan Walter and maybe Ben Heggie are probably the only guys that actually play their same position in club that they play for high school. And that's striker. So that's the easiest one to just go throw up top. But we're taking a lot of – so last year we took Grogan and Damon, who were wings, and we played them on defense. This year we're going to do the same thing. There's a lot of strikers that we're trying out on defense. There's midfielders that we're trying out on defense. We have a serious gap graduating. You know, we started three defenders last year. All three were seniors. Same, yep. They all graduated. So, you know, that's priority number one for me this offseason is find a defense that works.
Obviously, scoring is where everybody loves. I mean, that's where you get the highlights and all that stuff. But defenders are the important part. I mean, you stop things from happening there. How do you get guys to buy in from moving up front to the back?
You just tell them to buy in.
Dylan Grogan was a good example, because I know he scored a lot for you as a junior,
right,
on the offensive side. You moved him back defensively, and he bought in.
Yeah, I think it's when you realize the bigger picture of what we're trying to do. There's a reason that we went from 7-7 to whatever, you know, 14-2 or whatever we were last year.
14-2-3.
What a record. the great coaching, I guess. When you talk about big picture and you talk about, you know, how can you impact the team the most, you know, that's where people just buy in and want to play defense. But the style that we play, our defenders play like offensive players.
Right.
You know, they have to have good footwork. They pass the ball well. You know, we use them. It's not, hey, just go stand and block shots. It's, hey, I need to build from the – we build from the back, right? That's a big soccer term, you know, building from the back. So we – you know, Cal Collins was great at that in goal. He would roll the ball out, and we use our defenders to start our offense.
Well, that's a good way then to extend the field then even more so and right, be aggressive, good transition down the field.
And that's our – you know, our approach 2 years ago was just boom the ball and try to outrun everybody. We found that will never work. It's not sustainable. So we made a conscious effort to play like the top level clubs do, because A, you know, it works, but B, that's what colleges look for. So every position on the field, I ask them to keep their head up, play fast, play simple. And that it's the easiest thing for a coach to say is look, you know, keep your head up, play super simple and play fast. And every one of our positions on the field needs to be able to do that.
Well, it'll be exciting once we get ready for the fall to see how that all kind of works itself into place. As we're chatting with head coach of the Moeller Soccer, I guess we should say Crusader FC, Mike Welker here with us. And we're going to take a short break here as we have a little summer preview, kind of reliving a little bit of what happened last year, but moving forward as well for the 2018 season that'll start coming up later on in the fall. So we'll have more with head coach Mike Welker here as we continue on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Some investors have time to manage their own portfolios, others don't. That's why Raymond James & Associates offers several types of professionally managed programs designed to meet your needs. Call financial advisor David Rodrigo today at 513-786-7842. That's 513-786-7842. He is located in Blue Ash, Ohio to discuss professional asset management. Raymond James Associates, member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC. Life well planned. Accurate Masonry has over a decade of specialized experience with commercial masonry services. Just as important as our skills and professional focus is our dedication to customer service and satisfaction. Call our Cincinnati location today at 513-769-3300. That's 513-769-3300. Or visit our website at AccurateMasonryLLC.com to discuss your next project. Accurate Masonry, we're here to help. ESP Media has been producing and operating websites, mobile apps, game films, broadcasts, and social media content since 2010. We have entered into an exciting partnership with Sidearm Sports, the number one provider of collegiate athletic websites in the world. If you're reevaluating your athletic website's overall look and day-to-day operation, ESP Media can assist you. Reach us today at 513-655-4966 or email us at sales@espmediasn.com. Join ESP Media and Sidearm Sports to be the leader.
Welcome back into our summer preview of Moeller Soccer on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports. With Rob Ebel, I'm Greg Waddell, and head coach Mike Welker of Crusaders FC. And such a great season a year ago, and turning the page, as it were. It was such an exciting season last year, city champs, and so much progressed, top five, maybe all time in Moeller Soccer in the season. You set the bar really, really high, though, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yep.
The sport of soccer, to me, is... It's always been a great participation sport in the city of Cincinnati, and it has been for a long, long, long time. FC Cincinnati came into the picture a few years ago, and that was about the exact same time I was really getting involved with Moeller Soccer and what's going on here. And in these last 2 years, just the level of soccer, the knowledge, the passion for it all has just exploded. And I'm a part of that. I know Rob Ebel is one of those as well. For you watching this, you played at Moeller. So you're a Moeller alum.
Right.
You play the sport. You see what's happening now with FC Cincinnati. What do you feel about the sport? I mean, you're probably thinking it's long overdue, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and I always joke with Rob and anybody, you know, if I could do it all over, I'd be on CK staff on the basketball team. I love basketball so much more than soccer, but you know, this sport is awesome, and you know, seeing how it's continued to grow and influence, you know, now yes, there's a, you know, at the youth level, it's always kind of been participation, and you know, the jokes are made of, oh, you know, I'm a soccer mom or whatever. You know, now it's everybody, and you're looking in the city,
it really
is. And you know, there's bars that are involved, and you know, downtown is orange and blue, and there was a buzz. I mean, there's like a legitimate buzz.
That's a great term.
about the games, and you see people marching and singing and yelling. And you know, I'm kind of the you know, probably the opposite side of a soccer purist. I like to watch sports, right? You know, and what they've done is to captivate an entire city and rally behind. You know, the Reds haven't been the best. You know, the Bengals, you know, up and
timing
down.
Timing is everything.
Right. And, you know, to see what FC has been able to build in such a short period of time, it's really cool. It's really fun for me to watch him.
I haven't seen Clifton this thriving ever. I mean, we were talking about that at lunch. I was down on Short Vine the other day. And, you know, when it does move down to the West End, you know, it's going to be a big exhale for Clifton, because there's a lot of business in the bars and restaurants before and after. I've never seen Clifton this hopping before.
Since Kenyon Martin days back
then.
Yeah,
that's probably true. And I don't think that they were really equipped then to handle it like they are now. And some of these businesses are starting up just with the idea of the amount of people that are coming into Clifton. They know that they have there's a little slice of the pie for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool to see.
Oh, sounds fun.
We've had, you know, my family's had season tickets from the beginning. You know, my mom and dad are re-upping with the MLS. You know, there was like 25,000 there the other night. It's crazy. What, you know, on the opposite side, I still chuckle at, you know, I follow Lance and all the other guys on Twitter, and I'm listening to 700 and 1530. The other side of just so much, you know, what's the discomfort that FC's succeeding. You know, it's like, why? You know, it's a cool thing for our city that, you know, who cares if it's soccer or not?
Lance
whatever
finally got on the bus. He was it was the dark side for a long time.
Well,
he's finally
and
converted.
The reason is because his daughter plays.
Right.
that has a lot to do with it. But, oh, I remember the days when I was working with Lance, you know, 15 years ago, he called it a communist plot.
Yeah.
That was what soccer was to him.
Yeah. And I think once you truly, you know, get the idea of the game and get that, you know, simple is better. And, you know, it's fun. And anybody can do it. And when you can do it at a high level, it's just that much more fun. And, you know, it's not like we're bad people, you know, soccer fans and soccer. It's like take a breath. Like, it's cool that our city is involved in something very large and continues to grow. And, you know, this week we were the epicenter of American soccer. You know, it was the capital of American soccer this week. Like, it's just really cool to see, and I'm excited for it. Trust me, we're going to take more advantage of it than any high school in the city. We're going to try to get as many games there as possible. Yeah, we're doing FC Cincinnati night again on June 16th. You know, I'm going to use every bit of it that I can to our advantage.
I think, to me, just the way that it has all progressed, it's just almost where it's been an awakening in a sense of that it's always been there, yet to see. I always heard it called, you know, the beautiful sport. And,
right. Yeah.
And now I actually do kind of see it that way. Yeah. And just going down to the games at Nippert, and hopefully they have that same environment when they move over to the West End, however many years down the road it's going to be. But yeah, it's just been a fun development. I've really thoroughly enjoyed what they've been able to do. And hopefully, like you said, there's no reason that they all can't fit in here. It's not at right. the Bengals' expense or the Reds' expense.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Exactly. You know, if they want to start winning, that's on them. It right. has nothing to do with what FC has done and accomplished. Now, I will ask you this, though. What will the transition be like, though? They're going to keep the same coach. You know, yeah. players are going to have a chance to play at this level as well. Are they going to be able to win instantly? Is there going to be like the Vegas Knights in hockey?
I don't know. I mean, we held our own in the Open Cup last year. With going to a new league, you get more money, so you can spend more money. You can bring in more guys. You know, the one thing that I've seen is that this ownership group is committed to winning.
Seems like
it wasn't.
It, yes.
They're not committed to making money, which every business person should be. You know, they want to make money still, but they want to put a good product out there, and they believe in winning. You know, and that's refreshing that not only do they want to just make money and have a good product, but they also want the product on the field to be one that you kind of take pride in and actually care about winning.
What a novel concept.
Right, exactly.
Hey,
right.
Mike, let me ask you this question. One of the things I see with the Blue Jackets being in Columbus, there's a lot of ice in Columbus. It seems like youth hockey has exploded and is so much more advanced than Cincinnati. So my question to you is, now that Cincinnati has a professional soccer team, do you see, I don't want to say more athletes, but a higher level of play because we now have a Major League Soccer franchise here in Cincinnati? Do you see more fields? You know, kind of what's happened to hockey in Columbus, do you think that similar thing will happen to Cincinnati?
Well, it's, you know, so the Columbus Crew, right, they have a developmental academy. So you, which people travel from all over. There's a bunch of kids in Cincinnati that go to Lakota East, Sycamore. I believe one goes to St. Xavier. That goes to the Crew Developmental Academy and you train with them and you don't play high school. So it could be the opposite effect. You know,
sure,
it could be now the city will continue to get better and bigger and people will play more. But I'm hearing rumblings and rumors of famous soccer locations here in the city that are potentially getting bought out by FC to become, you know, developmental places for, you know, their academy. You have to have an academy if you're an MLS team. So there will be an FC club now for the youth.
Interesting.
You've already seen some partnerships with that across the city, but you know what you might see is people coming in from, it might be the opposite now. If the Crew leaves, you might see people coming from Columbus and St. Ignatius, I believe, I guess I can't say don't be quoted because I'm being recorded, but I believe St. Ignatius has guys that go to the Crew Academy and then go back to Ignatius to play during the season. So you'll see a lot of people traveling to be part of
this
Academy. Yeah, and like I'm not like the expert on it, but they're, in my opinion, it will be nice to have a lot of these guys want to stick around and influence the community as well.
Oh, yeah.
Omar Cummings. So he's been, he's on my indoor soccer team. I show up and I'm like, oh, that's Omar. I was the leading goal scorer. And then he went out and scored like 8 goals real quick. I'm like, okay. So you'll see guys like him, you know, part of FC Cincinnati already going around the community and trying to influence and help local clubs and high school and everything else. Omar's going to help us a lot. He's really good friends with Blake Davis, a Moeller alum. So, you know, that's what you'll see a lot of too, is just those guys being mentors and outreach in the community.
And that's nothing but a good thing.
Right.
So, well, as we get through, and we'll watch FC Cincinnati a lot during this last year of the USL and before they head into the MLS next year, you'll have your guys. We mentioned a little bit in that first segment how they're playing a lot of club sports. When do you get them all together? You mentioned August 1st. That's when practices can start and scrimmages and all the fun stuff there.
So we start June 4th, so next Monday. We go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 2.5 hours. We do lifting, running, and open fields. So that's like the guts of the summer. Starting in July, then you get 10 coaching days. So there's a game in the system that you can either coach your guys and have a practice, or you can actually scrimmage. So in July, we're doing 10 scrimmages versus practices. So we're involved in the tournaments that we were in last year, but also then just some one-on-one scrimmages with Loveland, Wyoming, teams that we typically don't play in the regular season, we're trying to play in July. And then on August 1st is tryouts, and that's when it's, you know, everything's real, and that's when everybody has to be there. June and July, you know, people are on vacations, they're doing whatever, nothing's mandatory. I just say, when you're ready, I'm ready, you know, so like we'll have everything ready for you when you're ready to come in. You know, we'll make sure it's top of the line, first class, and, you know, we'll be ready for you once you're ready.
And those are the foundations to build what will be an exciting 2018 season as we kind of move ahead to that. We were so excited last year. I think there was only a handful of games we didn't have some kind of a broadcast partnership with, and we're looking to do that again and maybe even take it up a notch this upcoming year as we look at the schedule and the schedule that you're putting together for this upcoming season. It's a gauntlet.
Yeah, we should just, I mean, it's crazy. So we, you know, my goal is to find another sponsor. So if anyone's listening, we need assistance. Mr. Rodrigo last year stepped up big time.
Huge.
You know, we need a sponsor, a title sponsor, to do our broadcasts again. I also want to do some 4K video games where, you know, it's maybe all of them. I mean, it would be great if we had a sponsor to pick up all of them, where we broadcast our games. But, you know, this year we made it a priority that our schedule would be, everyone says they have the hardest schedule in the city or the state.
Of course.
And I'm putting our schedule out there to say, show me a harder schedule or a better schedule in the city or state than ours. Our preseason, we open up with Oak Hills. Can I go into this, or do you not want me to go into this?
No, sure.
Oh, no, okay. It's up on the
so,
website.
So, you know, we open with Oak Hills. We travel to the Highlands for the Welker Classic, or whatever you want to call it. then we play Toledo, St. Francis. St. Francis DeSales. So they were number 5 in the state last year. And then we end with number 1 Beaver Creek, who won the state championship. So that's our last scrimmage of the year. Our regular season, outside of the 6 GCL games, which everyone knows how hard those are, we play Mason, Anderson, Lakota West, Lakota East, Sycamore, Walnut Hills,
Liberty. So, out of
so then we got our out of kind of city. So last year we went to Louisville. This year I said I want to play Ohio teams. I want to play the best of the best of Ohio. So we play Olentangy Liberty, who was at one point the number 1 team in the country last year.
In the country.
The country. Dublin Kaufman, who at one point was like number 10 in the country last year. St. Charles, who we've picked up. And then I'm missing our last...
Fairfield
won the GMC last year. Yeah. So we play last year's GMC champion, last year's ECC champion, last year's state champion, and call it 5... You know, we probably play every top 10 team in the state outside of the guys in Cleveland. So, you know, it will be a gauntlet. We graduated 8 seniors. We graduated the runner-up for Cincinnati Player of the Year. We graduated the GCL Player of the Year. But my confidence in our guys and our confidence in our process and our system allows us to play this hard of a schedule. And, you know, the boys are like, man, this is really hard. And it's like, that's the same thing everyone said last year. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's to me, it's not fun going and playing teams that you can beat 9-0. You get nothing out of it. No. Nothing. No one gets anything out of that. We want to create memories. We want to create, when we go play at Olentangy Liberty under the lights and they're a top 10 team in the country, that's a memory. You know, we want our guys to walk away. We want people to watch what we're doing and say, I want to play for Moeller, because they don't shy down from anybody. They have the best gear. You know, they're all bought in. You know, it's a family. They care about each other. They love each other. They all got each other's back, and they play the hardest schedule in the city.
And they broadcast all their games.
And they broadcast all their games. They have great weekly podcasts.
Which we, of course, will continue as well. So, and we need to reiterate again too about the sponsorship deals too. And it's not like we're sitting here begging or not, because I think what we do stands on itself. What you do on the field and what your guys have accomplished stands on itself, and what we try to do within the broadcast, I think, stands on itself as well. So if you want to get involved with us, we'd love to be involved with you too and be a part of it.
And Rob has, you know, I'm a marketing guy, right? And I look at these numbers and they're staggering numbers. It's not, there's not 30 people listening. Like way too many people listening to me talk about high school soccer, to where it's like, it's eye opening how many people listen and watch and, you know, support our Twitter feeds. It's a very, very, very good ROI, right? You know, so or I call it RO, return on opportunity. Okay. But, you know, there is a very, very, very good, this is a very good investment in terms of you know, all the eyeballs and the listeners that do it. And you can tie it into Let's Go Big Mo, which is, you know, one of the best websites in the country in terms of visitors and eyeballs. So it's a total package. I'm on my sales kick right now, but I would truly appreciate if anyone can help support that this year. It would be great. And you get a lot of good plugs and publicity, and a lot of people, you know, are exposed to your brand by doing so.
It's a true partnership, and yeah. You can throw that word around a lot, but you would become involved. You would be a part of what it is we're trying to do,
right,
with the program.
And, you know, maybe I need to get a testimonial from Mr. Rodrigo from last year, but, you know, he wrote a really nice letter to Rob and I think you were copied on it as well. You know, it meant a lot to him to be the title sponsor and to be on that last year.
And I still run his ads now. We ran them all during the baseball season. Yep. And, you know, it's they certainly get their money's worth. We have all the analytics that can support that. Yep. Instead of being in a media guide that gets put up on a bookshelf that nobody sees,
right,
we can certainly quantify
and,
all the
And
things.
Everyone has, like, and this is, I'm probably too salesy here, but everyone has, like, slush funds and marketing funds. You know, you can either buy promotional products from a guy like myself, which sells great promotional products. Yes. Or you can help support a local high school that, you know, gets a ton of eyeballs, and you can actually get a return on the money you're investing. So that's my sales pitch there, if anyone.
Oh, you got me fired up.
All right, good. Let's go.
Not only for that, but for the season as well.
Well, today, I haven't told you this yet. Today, we're going to hang in nets and pumping balls and cleaning the locker room. So if nice. I got you really juiced, if you're really juiced up, you could come and help do all that. So
I was wondering why you were dressed the way you were. So it didn't look like you were at work today. Coming over here for a few hours.
No.
So,
Coach, thanks for coming in, and have a wonderful summer with the guys.
I will. Thanks, guys.
It's going to be a fun year to get ready, and it'll all start again coming up the fall this year when school gets back at it. Mike, good luck with all the guys
thank
this
you.
Year and all the graduates and the seniors that just graduated. Thank you for everything that
yes,
you did
and
being a part of this, and it's a good foundation for what you're going to continue to do.
Yep, love it. Thanks, guys.
All righty, there you go. That's Mike Welker along with Rob Ebel. I'm Greg Waddell. Thanks for listening to our Moeller Summer Preview for Moeller Soccer here on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.